knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are thereon, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? We'll just stop there. Well, I've heard no news, and I'm sure I would have done, because somebody would have come to me to tell me that on one of these programs, either on the radio or the television, that there'd been some gigantic intervention of God direct to raise some fanatics from the dead from the top of the Mount of Olives. And it was all arranged for yesterday, you see. And it didn't happen. There were a group like that some years ago who took their sarnies on top of the Mount of Olives to wait for X number of days. And in that time, the Lord was going to come. And they said they'd never come down once their sarnies were overeaten until he did come. Well, they'd eaten all their sandwiches, and they weren't on the mount when their sandwiches had gone. And he still hadn't come. Now, there are all sorts of funny fanatics around in the world, and some of you may look at people like us and say, well, perhaps they're numbered with them. So I want to talk to you, if you happen to be a bit skeptical, and on the basis of what we've read today, to ask you to think, in the light of the entering in of this new year, a new century, a new millennium, all dated back to the most wonderful happening ever since the creation. God was manifested in flesh. And that one's that Saviour that you've been singing so nicely about. And I've known him for years. And I've never doubted this since someone was kind enough to explain it to me. That he'd not only come to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself and bore my sins in his own body on the tree, but that in addition to that, he'd been raised from the dead, gone to heaven, was sharing his Father's throne, and was coming back one day. Now, I was so glad that there was one of these people that looked as old to me as I do to you. And he was kind enough to tell this little young chap, "Listen, lad, the best's on before. I'm going home to heaven. I never deserved to be there. It wasn't my home at all. But I'm going there just the same. I'll tell you my passport in. That Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, lived here, died here. And long before he ever came, in fact, when he was there at the beginning and flung the universe into space and has kept it, every little part of it, in space ever since. That one who came is the one who put me right with God. And I'm going home." And it would be an awful thing to come all this way up here, I think it was about 500 miles, to find that there was somebody here that wouldn't give me a moment to think about their need of getting right with that same God. God manifest in flesh. So are you a skeptic? Well, this has been going on for years. And these people have got short memories that are like this. They're very odd people, really. I think they're so clever. They've got the answers to everything, except to their need as sinners to get right with God. And there were some of them living in Peter's day, as near to the first advent of the Lord Jesus. Nearer, perhaps, than we are to the second advent. And they were saying, "Well, look, you know, things have been going on like this since time immemorial, and we've had these rumour mongers, and they've been going round and trying to scare the daylights out of us." They've been telling us, "Look here, you've got to get right with God, or it's the day of judgment for certain." And there's a coming day when God's going to come in and he's going to judge this world. No, he's going to pour out his wrath upon it. And they say, "Look, we could remember Mother telling us that. And we're well on in years now. And nothing's changed. If I happen to have somebody like that here this afternoon, let me tell you, you've got a very short memory. Because when your mother was telling you that, even this world was not what it is now. A lot of things have changed. The thing that hasn't changed is this: that all of us, young or old, have been born sinners. And we've gone on in our sweet way or in our foul way to practice sin until we become such an expert at it we don't even know we're sinning. It's that straightforward. And let me tell you this, just for fear You're getting too sceptical now, you're getting older maybe. Things haven't been the same from the beginning. These people that were saying that, maybe you're numbered amongst the type, say these things, but they're not ignorant. They're willfully ignorant of the fact that things haven't been the same from the beginning. Let me remind you that there was one cataclysm in the history of this little globe that's never been repeated the like of it ever since it happened. And it happened about 1600 years BC. It's the flood. Well, you've heard about the flood and you've heard these fellas telling us that, you know, come on now. You've grown up beyond that sort of thing. Well, I haven't. I'm simple-minded enough to believe the unchangeable word of God. And he said to a man that was ready to give him an ear, "You've not seen any rain and you've never seen floods yet. But I'll let you into a secret. You're not only going to see rain, but the fountains of the great deep are going to be broken up. And I'm going to flood this whole earth. And what I want you to do, as ridiculous as it sounds, here in the middle of dry land with not a bit of sea in sight, build yourself an ark." And this man was silly enough to do what God told him. And this is what Peter tells us about that man in the chapter we didn't stop to look at. That man, with his family, 8 souls. That's all. 8 souls were saved. They sailed over the ocean that represented the wrath of God against an utterly apostate world. 8. And a little bit later on, they stepped out onto dry land. And what a wonderful time that was. Have you heard of Noah and the flood? Do you believe it happened? And if you don't, then you are denying what God has revealed in the sacred scriptures. That's up to you. Over to you. If you want to go out through the door and say, "As far as I'm concerned, I will to stay ignorant," as they'd say in Israel, Bavakasha. Please. Your choice. But if you've got any sense at all, you look pretty bright to me. You won't take that route. You'd say, "Well, it did happen. Things haven't continued from the beginning. God said he was going to do something and he did it. And what's more," he said, "I'll put that rainbow. The next time you look up in the cloud and you see it there, I want you to remember this. He put that bow in the cloud to remind you that God has got a wonderful ability out of what looks like chaos, wrath getting totally out of hand, to bring 8 souls through and put them down on the other side, saved." Now he did that in the past and he said, "I'll put that bow in the cloud and this is your guarantee. I'll never, ever flood the earth again. Now, we've been hearing about some terrible floods recently. It amazes me how people shrug these things off. And somehow or another say, even if they credit that there's something about it they don't understand, well, what sort of a God is this that would send such natural disasters? And I'm going to say something to you. God so loves the world, he'll bring in natural disasters to make people wake up. We've had enough in the last 20 years. Earthquakes. Natural disasters. And there's not one of them that has happened apart from the mighty hand of God. Not one of them. Don't make excuses for him. God's on the throne. And when we don't listen to sweet overtures, he comes in with stronger language, and he's been crying out to a lost world to get right with God. We're getting near the end. Once he got that point over, this is the next bit, and I've got to hurry, my time's nearly up. He tells us he's not going to do that again. The bow in the clouds, sufficient evidence for that. You can rely on God. His word is faithful and true. But what he has said is this. Yes, I am going to destroy the world. And all the opposing society to their creator that are living on it. There'll be a lot more than 8 souls that won't be wiped out with that. But when he comes in the second time like that, he'll use fire. Water first. Fire next. And I don't know when that's going to happen. I really don't. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said, you know, that secret is with the Father. He knows. But one day, and for the way I sense things, sooner rather than later, God's going to deal with this whole world in judgment. You say, well, if this was the case, why does he keep hanging on? Nothing's happening. Let me tell you, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'd count it well worthwhile, that 500 miles. If any that don't know my Lord crucified, buried, raised, ascended. Read in your heart now. I'd find it wonderful if you were to come to repentance. Just turn right around. Turn to God from idols. And this is the proof. To serve the living and the true God. And to wait. That's what we're doing, you know. Some people have been waiting a lifetime. I'm thinking of one who in the temple said, Lord, lettest now thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And if you were to repent today, and just move on a step. My faith has found a resting place. Oh, it's not in any of those creeds. It's in Jesus Christ the righteous, who lived, died, rose again. He's living now to save you. And let me just stress the point. He is long-suffering. But it won't be forever. And no one knows the moment when that stops. Please, let me, what can I do for you? I wish I could just believe you, or at least boot you into it, but I can't do either. It's over to you. Don't just go on forgetting it or letting it drift by. The long-suffering clock is getting near toward the end of ticking. Repent. Believe. Confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And thou shalt, no, might be, thou shalt be saved. And may it be so. As a wonderful New Year present for all the friends here. Quite apart from what it will mean for my Lord. For his name's sake.
Just let's commend ourselves to the Lord at this time. Our Father, such is the love of God towards us that at every time he sent the judgment, there was always a way of escape. We thank you for the ark and for the 8 souls that were saved there. We thank thee for the pole, the serpent and the pole in the wilderness. And we think of the words of the Saviour, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And with this we point everyone to Calvary, and we see God's way of escape in the giving of his Son for us at the place called Calvary. We pray that you will continue with us, and we pray that you will impress your love and your care upon us as we continue in the second half. Bless us now as we have a cup of tea together, for which we give thanks in the Saviour's name. Amen.